Welcome to the Career Crossroads Show, where we speak about student experiences, the opportunities and obstacles that we face as students transitioning into our work life. You're listening to WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station, and this is your host, Jasmine. My first guest today on this show is currently studying at Berklee College of Music to become a music therapist. And she's here to talk a little bit about her experience so far. And I know her to be very hardworking, and I would love for her to share some of her knowledge with the listeners. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Myra.
Thank you for having me. Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I really appreciate you for coming on the show.
Of course.
Specifically because I wanted to talk about music therapy.
Amazing.
Because I've been hearing that the industry has been growing really fast and that it's a great method of treatment.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit about why you wanted to become a music therapist in the first place.
So I went to high school in Bali, and when I lived there, I had a music healer who helped me through a lot of personal hardship through music and through holistic modes of music. So using Tibetan singing bowls and crystal singing bowls, and it was a really beautiful experience. And it was the first time I was opened up to this integration of healing and taking care of yourself using music. Mm. And I thought that was beautiful. And I've always loved singing, always loved music, mm-hmm. but I've never felt gravitated towards, being a performer or working within the industry. And I've also loved helping people. You know, I've always loved providing support for people growing up. So to be able to integrate the two was really special. Mm-hmm. And, as I started looking for colleges, Berklee came up and I decided, okay, I'm just going to apply to this school and cross my fingers. And yeah, so I went to Berklee specifically for their music therapy course. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I agree as well that music is very healing. Mm-hmm. And I know you personally, and you are a very helpful person. So I do think putting those things together was kind of magical for you.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. I am very grateful that I found one of my purposes so early in life.
So tell me, what's your experience so far? What kind of work have you been doing? I want you to talk to me about some of your classes and what their structure is like.
Right.
Yeah.
Great question. Okay. So I'm in my last practicum right now, and that's where you kind of get firsthand experience.
What is practicum?
So, practicum is where you get this firsthand experience, and it's a class taken at Berklee. And you have different levels, and you start out by just observing sessions, and then now I'm at my last practicum, so we're facilitating a lot more. We have a better grasp on clinical skills, music skills. And so I've worked with individuals with cortical visual impairment. Mm-hmm. I've worked within an adaptive learning environment in a school. Mm-hmm. I've worked with individuals with dyspraxia, which is a coordination disorder. So from cognitive to physical disorders, I have been kind of definitely, it's a great experience because it doesn't limit you to a specific population that you want to work with. Like, for example, I love kids. I want to end up working with kids. But right now, I'm still a student. I'm learning.
Yeah.
So I want to get as much experience as I can. So it's been really cool. I've been learning so much. Mm-hmm. But also, when you're learning something you're passionate about, it can always feel like stage one because there's so much more to learn, especially within this field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, like caterpillar coming out of its cocoon.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know if this is kind of a difficult question to answer, but I was wondering if you see a change in your patients when you do these exercises or activities with them?
I wouldn't say I, because I'm at such, like, I'm in the early stages where I don't even have my own patients, you know, they're my supervisor's patients and I'm just solely observing and facilitating. But I see the impact that music has on all of these clients, you know. We have a, like, you know, music therapy can help people from womb to tomb. That's like a little saying we have. So, you know, from babies in NICU to people who are in hospice, you know. And music has such an incredible impact. So I see it within, you know, you see it in attention, you know. So if, for example, I'm working with a student with autism, like, you will see changes in their attention when they, you know, hear a first chord or, you know, hear the beginning of a song that they really love. You know, all of these sessions that are created, you know, their preferred music and genre is seriously taken into account, because that is also how connection is created between the therapist and the client and the music.
Right.
You know, it's like a triangle, you know, so it's like this balanced kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
Where it's three of you in this room.
Like music is a whole another person that's just sitting in the room.
Exactly.
Wow. That's really cool. I have another question for you.
Yes.
What are some of the most fulfilling aspects of what you're studying?
I think helping others by using a medium that connects so much of us, you know, across cultures, individuals. And music really does bind so many communities and connect with so many individuals on different levels, you know. And I think being able to be a part of something that contributes kindness and love in the world. And I don't know, I want to be a part of something that makes people feel good because that makes me feel good.
I think that's an incredible career choice to make. I mean, I feel like there's not a lot of people who make career choices like that. Cause for a lot of people, it's like, let me, you know, make money or become well known or things like that. But for you, it's like, it's not really about that. And I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, these dreams are real, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
And there are also like so many different ways that people can help others. It's not just by becoming obviously a therapist. Mm-hmm. Like even within Berklee, there's so many talented musicians that are creating beautiful pieces of music that are connecting with others, you know? And I'm grateful for those people because then we get to use their songs in sessions, you know, because that helps them create these memories that we can, you know, tap into in sessions or emotions that are evoked.
Yeah. And I just really wanted to talk to you about music therapy because I remember when you first started taking this course, you were telling me about the man who couldn't walk and... Tell me about that, because I think the audience would absolutely love to hear about that, because it just shows how effective music can be when it comes to healing and helping people, I don't know, do their daily business.
Right. I mean, music definitely improves quality of life and, you know, daily life. But okay, so it's not that he didn't walk. It's he had a stroke.
Okay.
And it affected, I think, either his right or left side of his body, which caused him to have a staggering step, which also like affected his ability to walk, you know, it affected balance, all of that. He had a PTMT, which is like physical therapy and music therapy co-treatment, and which is also really great when all of the different kind of therapies are integrated, because I think it makes a meaningful session for the patient based on, you know, what they're trying to focus on for that client. Anyway, so they played music and it had a specific BPM and they encouraged the client to walk to that, to the beat, to the rhythm. And by the end of the session, he started walking faster.
Yeah.
He started walking faster.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
It was incredible because I saw the video as well. And from what the video was saying was that he had been receiving treatment for this
for a few weeks.
Yeah, didn't it say months?
I'm not sure, but I think
it was he had been receiving treatment for a very long time and there were no changes, but after his first session, that's very mind-blowing to me.
Definitely.
But it also makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I want to talk to you about some difficulties that you face when you're working for the music therapy industry.
Well, I am also a college student, so that means a lot of late nights and a lot of homework and self-care and taking care of yourself can be a priority that is hard to navigate through.
Very true.
And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Mm-hmm. But so just understanding the importance of mind, body, and spirit and being able to create ways to relieve stress, mm-hmm. to increase your mood, to release. Mm-hmm. It's all so important. And it's definitely in your face when you're in a healthcare career.
I think it's really important that healthcare workers or people in the healthcare industry receive the same amount of therapy that, you know, their patients do, because you can't heal someone when you're not healed, right?
Right. Yeah. Therapy. And that is, it's so amazing because I get to talk through personal hardships with them and I get to process and I get to strengthen my awareness skills. And I don't know, I sometimes like think of therapy as like a class or a lesson about myself, you know. I also think of therapy like cleaning your mind a little bit of dusting, you know. You need to talk about your emotions, you know, what you're going through. And to be validated in that space is really important. You know, to be validated, period, is really important for everyone.
Yeah.
And also another, it's not a difficulty, but it's just something that I've noticed. We're talking a lot about, you know, cultural reflexivity and intersectionality in class. And a question that came up in one of our, we read a lot in this major, we read a lot. So I was reading a chapter and the author had asked this question to himself. And it was like, what if I had a supervisor who looked like me? Mm. You know, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. And that really like sat with me because it's not until now that I've had a person of color be my supervisor. Mm-hmm. And I just like the importance of like knowing someone who like looks like you, you know, you're from the same cultural background and they're like doing what you love and it just inspires you. Mm-hmm. And you can discuss all of these personal things that are coming up, you know, things come up in sessions. It's very real. You know, sometimes we are human too, so we get triggered too. So right. Working through those things with someone, you know, who kind of like gets it, so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something that I just, like, noticed. It's nothing bad.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, that'd be so cool if I had a supervisor that looked like me, that was from the same place as me. And just, like, who got it, you know?
I mean, yeah, it just feels different when you see someone who's just like you doing the things that you want to do.
Right.
There's just something so inspiring about that.
Totally.
And I've been searching for that as well, someone that, you know, who is a woman, who's Asian, you know, that understands, you know, cultural boundaries and things like that.
Right.
You know, and for me to be like looking up to them and understanding that, hey, like, although all these boundaries exist, you know, you can still make it through and do what you want to do.
Yep.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I very much agree with that. So this is a very fun question for you.
I'm excited.
If you weren't studying to be a music therapist, what would you study?
It's a good one. I love plants so much. So I think it would be really cool to be a botanist and like have my own greenhouse. Mm-hmm. We were actually talking about this very briefly yesterday because that would be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
No? Having your own like private sanctuary full of plants and studying them.
Cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
What would you be?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and that's also like one of my struggles is I've always grown up doing music. I've been getting piano lessons since I was 5 years old. So I've always been either forced by my parents or forced by me to be practicing music. And now that I think about it, I don't really know what else I could be doing. Like, that was very difficult for me to comprehend, because there are people who are so good at multiple things and they can just apply for jobs here, there, and everywhere, right? Mm. But for me, it's always been kind of about music. And I'm not saying I'm not open to explore other options. You know, I've always kind of thought about becoming an artist, like, that paints, because I used to love to paint. Right. But like,
but it wasn't your calling.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah, I hear
exactly.
You.
So yeah, I mean, there are plenty of things that I would love to try, but I don't know. I just haven't dipped my toes into it yet. And I think I will someday, just not now.
We can do everything. We can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's also something that I don't like, that people say that, you know, you can do everything. Because what I feel as a student is, we have been given such a short amount of time to decide what we want to be. And then society expects you to know what you want to be by the age of 30, or already be there by the age of 30.
Yeah.
And I
Not
don't know.
The if case. It,
yeah.
Not the case.
I think it's very limiting, you know?
I hear you.
Yeah. Like, who says you have to be dedicated to one career your whole life? I mean, the world has changed so much. I feel like that's not the case anymore, you know? Anyways, and now this is an important question.
Oh, no.
Why you think music therapy is important and how it could benefit our world and our people. So what do you think?
Wow. Okay, so music therapy is important, very important, because, I mean, not only does it provide ways to target physical, cognitive, social, emotional goals that can be reached using music as a tool, but it also allows the clients to express themselves through music. And music can be this alternative mode of communication between people. And I think that is such a beautiful, beautiful gift, you know, to be able to. It doesn't even, like, to express yourself through music, you don't even have to, like, play it, but you can even listen to it and just feel everything that it brings up for you. And I think it's so beautiful. And also, you know, I have so many memories listening to music with, you know, my mom, my dad. You know, I hear specific songs and I can remember memories when I was younger. And I think that it truly is a gift.
It's like a
way of time traveling, but not actually time traveling.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because I have very distinct memories about certain songs as well. Like, when I was in high school, we were given the opportunity to volunteer to go to Chiang Mai and do service work there. And I remember the music that I was listening to, and every time I listen to it, I feel like I'm back in Chiang Mai. So, yeah, music is a powerful tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, really fun music intervention that, like, I really enjoy doing with the clients is creating playlists filled with songs that they love. That's it's true. So much fun.
Yeah, it is very fun. Okay. I want to ask you if you have any advice for those who want to become a music therapist in the future.
Okay. I am a student music therapy in training. So mind you that all of the advice that I give, I am definitely taking into account for myself.
Or, like, what would you advise someone who wants to study music therapy, you know?
Oh, that's one. Okay.
Because I also know music therapy to be a very heavy course.
Yes, it is.
I know there's too much work involved.
Not too much. I think it's all needed because this is a very serious major. You know, you are working in serious environments with various different populations with different needs. So, some advice. Okay. Definitely have conversations with your teachers and peers. You know, I have felt so validated by talking to my teachers and my peers because they're either going through it, have gone through it, experienced it, and then we can talk about it. And, you know, you kind of have this introspective moment where you're like looking in deep within yourself and you're also looking within the perspective of the other person. It has been a roller coaster in this major. You know, I've gone through ups and downs, and my teachers and peers have always been there to support me. I think being a part of such an empathetic major too is really helpful. You know, I've met some incredible, kind, beautiful people who have really helped me through, you know, whether it's schoolwork or experiences that I have no idea what to do in, which that is fine. If you don't know anything, that is fine. You know, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yes, that is, you know, that is the biggest issue that I'm having as well, is being like, oh, maybe I don't know anything, even though I've dedicated myself to like almost 12 years of schooling. Maybe I don't actually know anything, you know? And I think it's important to stay connected to where you came from and how you started.
Totally.
Like for me, I started, you know, really enjoying music when I was playing piano and singing. And going back to that, it reminds me that it's, you do know something, and you know yourself a lot. It's just you forget about it, or you know, fail to acknowledge it sometimes. But
yeah, it's a very critical part of you that, you know, wants to nitpick at everything that you do. Yeah. And, you know, you have to give that extra 15%. I know you and me understand that.
Yeah. And the listeners too. Like I'm sure someone's listening to this and being like, wow, like I feel the same way, and I'm doing something completely different.
Right.
I think that's just what we experience when we start working or being out in the real world, experiencing good and bad things.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, so another thing is like, you know, don't be afraid to also tap into certain parts of yourself and dig deep and ask yourself the weird, uncomfortable questions, because that's when the growth happens, you know? And, you know, being vulnerable with yourself is so important. And, you know, I'm grateful that it does come easy to me to be vulnerable with other people and myself. But I think that even if it is uncomfortable, just tap into it. Just lean into it, and it will serve in your favor. And yeah, this is a career that invites a lot of personal awareness and understanding and growth. And, you know, talk to me if you're going to be a music therapist too, because I'm sure I'm going to have to learn from you as well. Like, you know, I love learning from my peers and my teachers, because, you know, they give me different perspectives and approaches to providing in a space and being a part of a certain space, you know?
Yeah.
Final question.
Yes.
Where do you see yourself in a few years? Like, no. I would say maybe 5 years. Where do you see yourself?
Okay, 5 years. Okay, I feel like that's a bit doable.
I was going to say 10 years, but I felt like that was a lot, so.
Okay. So hopefully I will be a manifesting.
We're manifesting.
I will be a certified music therapist. Hopefully I am living somewhere with lots of sun and close to the beach. And I'm very close to all of my support systems. I think, you know, living in America and going to college here, I'm away from my family. I'm away from major support systems, like far, far away. So,
and that's a whole different topic right there, is being away from home, being away from family.
Yeah, especially during these like kind of crucial years for like growth, you know, we're like learning, we're leaning into adulthood. So it's bringing up so much for all of us.
When I meet international students, especially, I mean, I'm not saying other students don't go through anything, but for me, I think international students, I always keep very close to my heart.
Yeah, we resonate.
Yeah. Because I also know that they're going through a lot behind the scenes of like not just dealing with what am I going to do in the future, but also dealing with, you know, oh, how's my family doing? Mm-hmm. You know, or I miss my family today. I don't know. So I don't know. Shout out to international students.
Yeah, seriously. So much love. So much love.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing with us what music therapy can do and what music therapy is all about. You know, there are lots of people who think, oh, music therapy is just playing music when you feel sad, you know, and that's definitely not the case.
Oh, come on. It's clinical and evidence-based. Use some music interventions to accomplish non-musical goals. Yeah. I have that, like, the textbook definition, like, burned in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. I hope that's, like, the proper definition, too. But anyway.
That would be a little bit awkward if you got it wrong.
No.
But anyway, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you. And thank you to the listeners. Remember, this is the Career Crossroads show, and you're listening to WBCA 102.9 FM. And I hope you guys have a lovely day. Thank you.
Bye.